"Just helping out for Mrs. Plinge, who has been taken poorly," said Nanny, giving her another wink. "I'm Mrs. Ogg. Don't mind me." This seemed to satisfy Bucket, if only because random tea distributors represented the most minor of threats at this point. "It's more like the Grand Guignol than opera out there tonight," said Nanny. She nudged Bucket. "It's foreign, for blood all over the stage," she said helpfully.
Really?
Yep, it means Big Guignol. Music started in the distance.
"That's the overture to Act Two," said Bucket. "Well, if Christine is still unwell, then..." He looked desperately at Agnes. "Well, at a time like this, people would understand." Agnes's chest swelled further with pride.
"Yes, Mr. Bucket?"
"Perhaps we could find you a white..."
Christine, her eyes still shut, raised her wrist to her forehead and groaned.
"Oh, dear! What happened?"
Bucket knelt down instantly.
"Are you all right? You had a nasty shock. Do you think you could go on for the sake of your art and people not asking for their money back?"
She gave him a brave smile. Unnecessarily brave, it seemed to Agnes.
"I can't disappoint the dear public," she said.
"Jolly good," said Bucket.
"I should hurry on out there, then. Perdita will help you, won't you, Perdita?"
"Yes, of course."
"And you'll be in the chorus for the duet," said Bucket. "Nearby. In the chorus."
Agnes sighed.
"Yes, I know. Come on, Christine."
"Dear Perdita," said Christine.
Nanny watched them go. Then she said, "I'll have that cup if you're finished with it."
Oh, yes. Yes, it was very nice," said Bucket.
I had a bit of an accident up at the boxes," said Nanny.
Bucket clutched at his chest.
"How many died?"
"Oh, no one died. No one died. They got a bit damp because I spilled some champagne."
Bucket sagged with relief.
"Oh, I wouldn't worry about that," he said.
"When I say spilled, I mean it went on happening."
He waved her away.
"It cleans up well off the carpet," he said.
"Does it stain ceilings, Mrs. Ogg?"
"Please just go away."
Nanny nodded, gathered up the teacups and wandered out of the office. If no one questioned an old lady with a tea tray, they certainly weren't bothered about one behind a pile of washing up. Washing up is a badge of membership anywhere. As far as Nanny Ogg was concerned, washing up was also something that happened to other people, but she felt that it might be a good idea to stay in character. She found an alcove with a pump and a sink in it, rolled up her sleeves and set to work. Someone tapped her on the shoulder.
"You shouldn't do that, you know," said a voice. "That's very unlucky."
She glanced around at a stagehand.
"What? Washing up causes 7 years bad luck," she said.
"You were whistling."
"Well, I always whistle when I'm thinking."
"You shouldn't whistle on stage, I meant."
"It's unlucky."
"I suppose you could say that. We use whistle codes when we're shifting the scenery. Having a sack of sandbags land on you could be unlucky, I suppose."
Nanny glanced up. His gaze followed hers. Just here, the ceiling was about 2 feet away.
"It's just safest not to whistle," the boy mumbled.
"I'll remember that," said Nanny. "No whistling."
"Interesting.
We do live and learn, don't we?"
The curtain went up on Act Two. Nanny watched from the wings. The interesting thing was the way in which people contrived to keep one hand higher than their necks in case of accidents. There seemed to be far more salutes and waves and dramatic gestures than were strictly called for in the opera. She watched the duet between Iodine and Bufola, possibly the first in the history of the opera, where both singers kept their eyes turned resolutely upwards. Nanny enjoyed music as well. If music were the food of love, she was game for a sonata and chips at any time. But it was clear that the sparkle had gone out of things tonight. She shook her head. A figure moved through the shadows behind her and reached out. She turned and looked at a fearsome face.
"Oh, hello, Esme. How did you get in?"
"You've still got the tickets, so I had to talk to the man on the door. But he'll be right as rain in a minute or two. What's been happening?"
"Well, the Duke's sung a long song to say that he must be going, and the Count has sung a song saying how nice it is in the springtime, and a dead body's fallen out of the ceiling."
"That goes on a lot in opera, does it?"
"Shouldn't think so."
"Ah, in the theatre I've noticed if you watch dead bodies long enough you can see them move."
"Doubt if this one'll move. Strangled. Someone's murdering opera people. I've been chatting to the ballet girls."
"Indeed? It's this ghost they're all talking about. Wears one of those black opera suits and a white mask.
How did you know that?